And so with that, we'd like to ask Shannon to come up. I'm so thankful for Shannon. Father, we just want to thank just for your sending Holy Spirit to be with us. And Holy Spirit, we can ask you to come and bring revelation to our hearts and minds and just fill Shannon with your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. I say that with the name Shannon. I have a little bit of the Irish in me, maybe more than a little bit, but I was going to say, that's not who we're celebrating this morning. We're celebrating Jesus. Thank you, Christopher, for that. Where our focus is on him. We can do all kinds of things through Christ, and it does. We are told to, give honor where honor is due. But I would prefer more holidays about Jesus, or special days about Jesus, than the things of man who did it through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. Right? Amen. Sorry. Well, I get my spectacles clean. How many of you have ever been invited to a house, someone's house, or a hotel room, or maybe a B&B? And especially if you've gotten to somebody's house and they're make yourself at home. The cupboards, the fridge is full. Go check out whatever you need. Here's your room. Here's the closet. And how many of you have done that, gone and checked it out? Never? I'm going to say Betty has. I don't know. If I'm in a place, if somebody says to me, if I go to a B&B and I'm in this thing, I check it out. I want to know where what's in the drawers, what's in the cupboards, where am I going to find stuff. I check it out. I go take a look. And I don't get nosy because my mom told me it wasn't polite to go check through somebody else's cupboards. But if you're in a place and somebody says, please go to the cupboards, I've got them full, help yourself, go take a look, help yourself to what you want, and I want something, I have permission to go check it out. Even if my mama says it's not polite. So this morning, as we come and look at the word this morning, I want to tell you that we have some something I would call storehouses. I have the biggest fingerprint right in the middle of my glasses, and I hate seeing you blurry. So so we have some cupboards we get to go check out. We have some things that we get to look at. And so this morning, some of us have taken advantage of that and done some checking out of the cupboards of heaven, if I can put it that way. But we're going to do even more of that this morning. Now, you can't read that at all, but I sure could on my computer at home. And I wasn't sure how to direct the message, but it's like, not what you've done, but what he did. What he did. And, in our Sunday morning live this morning, Betty brought up the point. Anything that we do, we're one of the things we're learning about meditation and meditating on the Word of God, that's a spiritual discipline. That's something we learn to do as we grow with God. But that is not what brings your salvation. That's something we do because of what Jesus has done. It's not what we do to get Jesus or get anything from him. And we need to always start from that point. What is it that he has done? And then our response. We go out and we help the poor. We serve the community. We do different things. We do it out of what he has done, not us doing it to get him. We don't spend time in prayer to get God to do anything, because he's already done it. We spend time in prayer thanking him, bringing every prayer and request before him with thanksgiving because of what has been done. Prayer and fasting. I'll tell you what, if you're fasting, trying to get God, pull on God, then get him to do something, you aren't going to see anything because it is already done. But if you go into prayer and fasting to get your heart changed, to get your thoughts, to get your being in line with what he's done, watch what the Lord can do through you because you are now engaged with him. Praise God. It's better stop this or I'm going to get to preaching. Okay. So again, this morning, we want to go explore the cupboards, if I could put it, explore the cupboards of heaven. And I want to start with 1 Peter 1:3-4. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, an inheritance that is kept for you in heaven. Got an inheritance. Now, I'll ask what could be a question. How many of you knew you had an inheritance in heaven? A few of you did. Some of us didn't know it at all. We have an inheritance. Where, you know what they say? Where there's an inheritance, there's... Or where there's will, there's... Relatives. No. Where there's will, there are... In other words, yeah, well, you guys get it. So we have an inheritance. But how did we get that inheritance? It says right there, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. So first again, we are born again. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, here's that word, born again, new birth. We've been new birth, we're something new, we're something different. Into a living hope. So here's something that's part of your inheritance. When you were born into the family of God, you were born into a living hope. This isn't a wishful thinking hope. It's a living hope. It's exciting. And it's through what? We sang about it this morning. His resurrection. Through his resurrection from the dead. I believe my Redeemer lives. We have a living hope. His name is Jesus. We have been a new birth into this living hope. Jesus who is raised from the dead. And this living hope, this new birth, this inheritance we have in him can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's kept for you in heaven. How many are thankful that you can poke into that closet there? Opened up that cupboard, taking a look around there. Well, let's keep going and see what else we have. So in our inheritance in Christ, we need to understand, as we just read there, this thing is a fixed thing. You can't add to it or take away from it. You can't change it. It is firm. It's established. And guess what? It exists without you having done one single thing to put into it. Except believe. Again, it's imperishable, undefilable, unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. It's a settled thing, and it's a glorious reality, wouldn't you think that? It's wonderful. That's what we have. So Peter talks to us about coming into this inheritance. You're coming into this inheritance, why? Because you've been born again. We have new birth. And you were born into this inheritance. Again, you didn't earn it. You were born into it. And it's kept for you there. So let's keep peeking around. What else do we have here? We have, because of Jesus, a new identity. We talk about our identity in Christ all the time. And I'm going to keep talking about it, and we're going to keep talking about it, and we're going to keep talking about it. And if you are bored with it, then you don't even know who you are in Christ. I'm just going to say, it is something we should never get bored of. If you find yourself getting bored with it, repent. Climb in the shower, turn on some cold water, wake yourself up, and get back there and find out what it is, again, that you have. Who am I in Christ? I have a new idea. I've been born again. What does that mean? It means you're a new creation. And I'm not putting all these scriptures up. You know where to go to find them. And if you don't, it's there. Go find them. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. It's not coming, it's here. The old nature, your old self, your old being, your old way of doing it is gone. And remember what we've been talking about in Sunday Morning Live. We need to be meditating on the Word, seeing the Word of God. If you still see yourself as a sinner saved by grace, you need to kick that to the curb. You were a sinner, and you are saved by grace. They are not the same thing. So you have been saved by grace. That's an amazing thing, by God. And you are no longer that sinner. You say, I still sin. Well, you better start getting your mind in line with the Word of God that says, sins not. Thank you, Crystal. Did you hear that? Say it again real loud. Whoever is born of God sins not. I'm doing that for online. We have something new and wonderful. But you say, well, what if I sin? Take a hold of it and say, it's no longer I that sinned, but sin in me. This is who I am. I'm a new creation. Born of what kind of seed? Incorruptible seed. Does that mean, oh no, I've got to freak out? Or does that mean, nope, I've got something here that can't be changed, because it's not about me and what I've done. It's about and what he did. So again, we take that, we put that into our thoughts, we meditate on that. I am a new creation. What does that look like? Spend some time asking the Holy Spirit to show you. Lord, show me. Give me pictures. What does that look like? What do I see Jesus doing? How did he live? He's our model. Bring it to my remembrance. Help me establish my heart and who I am in this new creation, as a new creation. Guess what? That means you're not born of this world. You're born of the kingdom of God. Therefore, I am... Okay, well, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. In Galatians, and John talks about, so you are no longer slaves to sin, by the way, but God's children. And since you are his children, this is why you get... he has made you also an heir. That's why you have an inheritance. You're one of his kids. You're a part of the will. It's what he has for you. You get to participate in this inheritance. John 1, 12 and 13. Yet all who did receive him, so there's the receiving, who believed in his name, when we believe on Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Again, If you believe in what Jesus did, who he is, his death, burial, and resurrection, you have a right to become the child of God. You've been born again. You've been born anew as a child of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human descent or the decision of a husband's will, but born of God. So let's move on, poking in that cupboard. What else do we have as in our new identity? We are co-heirs with Christ. Did Jesus get some good things? Duh. Guess what? We're co-heirs with him. Anything that he has, we have in him. We need to know our identity. Anything he has, anything Big Brother has, and I'm not talking the worldly view of Big Brother, please. Anything that our Big Brother Jesus has, we have together in him, co-heirs with him. However, let me read Romans 8, 17 to you. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Jesus talked about this. Wendy shared about the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake. You know, we've lived for many years in North America and Canada not understanding persecuted for the name of Jesus. And we prayed for other people in countries who've been martyred and that. But none of us can deny what we're seeing rise now. the rise against Christianity and our beliefs and anybody who dares to profess Jesus. And I'm not saying this that we need to get all freaked out and fearful or whatever. We should not. Because we have Holy Spirit in us. We have the power of Jesus in us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. But it is a reality. We will probably see more and more of that. Speaking of which, I just want to share with you an absolute little treasure of the Lord that he gave me this week. I was driving along, and for those of you who know, I just live over on 47th Street, so I was heading down the street here to 47th Street, and was having a little chat with God, and I looked up, and there, glaring in my face, is the word of God that says, you walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians, pardon me. And guess where that was? St. Pat's School. I thank God, because how often have I driven that way and seen the word of God out there for the world to see? Whoever, how many families drive by? Yeah, we know it's a Catholic school and that they're, you know, believe in Jesus, but how long will they be allowed to do that before somebody... Doesn't matter. We're going to pray that it keeps happening, and I bless the administration there that it has boldness to put the word of God out there for us. And just like, how many of you believe I walk by faith and not by sight? How many believe the word of God? It's right there before us. Do you know what the scripture is? That's from OMP. Well, good. So again, so the word, yeah. Amen. Amen. So that's awesome. So I'm saying this again for the ones at home who haven't heard this, that Ethan's the boys and girls sports team from their school have scripture right on the back of their hoodies. So wherever they go, they're taking the word of God out before the eyes of the public to see the word of God. Amen. God has a way of getting his word out there. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So again, that was a side note. So we are co-heirs. Now let's go to Ephesians 1. Guess what else? We're chosen. It says, in him we were also chosen, or been made heirs, was in the footnotes, having been predestined according to the plans of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We are chosen and predestined. Now, for those of you who say, see, there are people who God chose to save and people who God didn't. No, that's not the truth. God knows the beginning of the end, and he does know who will choose. But the invitation has gone out to everybody. How many of you have ever thrown a child's birthday party? And what you did is you got sent out the invitations. You got hot dogs and buns and cake or cupcakes. You got goodie bags ready. And whoever takes, responds to that invitation and comes is a part of the party, right? Now, you could have gotten an invitation and not come. So you're not a part of the party. You didn't come, right? You didn't receive the invitation. And so this is what it is. God has established his word in that whoever receives it, they are the ones who've been predestined. They've been chosen to experience and receive the inheritance that we have in Christ. Everybody got that? Anybody unclear? Talk to me later. Okay. Hebrews 9:17, we know that this promise, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. Do we have a new covenant? Yeah, we saw that one in the front of the cupboard. And all those who call may all those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from sin committed under the first covenant. Are you free from sin?
Yes.
So you got a new covenant, an eternal promise, and you've been set free from sin. This cupboard's good. Anybody want to keep digging around? So, what has Jesus done? What did he do? He made us righteous, which we haven't quite got to that scripture yet, but that's 2 Corinthians 5:20. 20? Yeah, I think so. Might be the one before that. Anyhow, it's we are his righteousness. He became sin that we might become his righteousness. So we are righteous. We are new creations. How many of you see yourself as a righteous being? Not just read it. How many of you see yourself as a righteous being? That's a good thing to see. Again, part of our new identity. We are made righteous. Okay. So we're righteous beings, and he's brought us into the family. We're children. You're part of the family of God. That's what he's done for us. Children in the family who have an inheritance, and you have an inheritance. Has he done some pretty good things? All right. So in our inheritance, what do we have? From Peter, we have something that's imperishable. Nothing can take away or destroy or crush or disintegrate the inheritance that we have in Jesus. And again, I'm just letting the scriptures up there. If you need to write them down, you write them down. Our inheritance is unspoiled. Now, this one I'm going to read to you from Revelation 27. It says, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So can the enemy come in and change anything of our inheritance in heaven? Can they corrupt it, taint it, spoil it? Nope. They can't do it. Sorry. But how many of us have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Anybody who has put their name in Jesus. In fact, actually, everybody's name says, don't let your name be blotted out, is how it's put. So it's there, I think, until the very end. Our inheritance is unfadable. And I'm going to share a little story about sitting there, Lord, unfadable. Does that mean it glows? I don't know. Anyhow, so this is how the Lord had me see it. I'm going to share a little idea about my grandfather. My grandfather was born in 1900, my mom's dad. And he was a believer in Jesus, but not all his life, but he was a believer in Jesus. And I was starting to think about my grandfather had four children. My mom was the oldest. And if he started putting aside every year, so he became a father in 1924. And every year for his children, assuming he knew he was going to have four at that time, for the whole of the 1930s, put $1 in a savings account for each child. By the end of that year, or by the end of 10 years, he would have had $40 put away for them. Now, in the 1940s, let's say that he decided to raise that up to $5. And so then he began, at the end of the 10 years, he would have put $200 away. In the 50s, he decided to up it to $10. And for 10 years, every year for each child, he put away $50. And at the end of that 10 years, he put away, $10. He would put away $400. In the 60s, he did the same year. For 10 years, he put away $50, and then he had $2,000 more in that account. And if my math is wrong, you can tell me later, but you'll get the point. In the 70s, he upped it to $200 a year for each one of them and put in $8,000. And in the 80s, he put in $500 a year for 10 years. And let's say he lived to 1990. He passed away in 1987. But it would have been $20,000 for a grand total after all of those years of 30, $30,640. And then that would have been divided between his four children, and they would have each gotten $7,660. Okay. So my grandpa, if he thought he could give each of his children $7,660 in 1924, each of them, four times over, he would have $30,000. Do you think my grandfather would have thought he was giving them an amazing inheritance? However, in 1980, or let's just jump to 1990, so 1989, December 31st, he passed away, and it has all of this money in there. Do you think $7,660 would have been a lot of money? Yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at. But what you could do with it in 1924, you're not going to do with it in 1990. And so what my point is the inheritance that we have here in the earth fades away, disintegrates, comes not to. How many of you remember the first time the lottery came out, the Lotto 649 or whatever, and you could win $1 million? There was a famous song that was out there, "If I Had $1 million." Man, I remember they're saying, well, if you had $1 million, you put it in the bank, you could live off the interest for the rest of your life. It wasn't that many years ago, folks, and what about $1 million now? We're not going to sneeze at it, but a lot of us would say, oh, even our house is $500,000 now. And then, you know, so what I'm saying here and there, it just, why save up for what doesn't last? We can't even predict all the things. All of us who've invested in retirement savings plan, bless you, praise God you're able to, but it's probably not doing what it would have done when you first invested in it. Again, not to slam that, just saying our inheritance in the Lord is imperishable, unspoiled, unfadable, and it is in reserved. And again, as we look at 2 Corinthians, it says, his seal of ownership is on us. He's put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Ephesians 1:13-14 there says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him, marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Guaranteed. Can't be deflated or anything. So we have an inheritance in Christ that is amazing. How many are happy to hear that? Okay. Here's something else Jesus has done. We have through him. He's protected us. In John 17:11, it says this, I will remain in the world no longer. This is Jesus speaking. And he's praying to the Father. He says, but they're still here in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them, I love this, by the power of your name. Just chew on that for a minute. The power of his name we're protected. The name you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. We can't, as we are one. That's an amazing thing, the power of his name, speaking the name of Jesus. Again, do we recognize what we have in this inheritance that we have in Jesus? Let's move on to John 10. This is great. Anybody ever thought that you could be taken out of the salvation that you have? You can't be. Jesus says, he's praying. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You know what? The devil wants to tell us that he can take us, that he's powerful, there are things we can't, you cannot be snatched. If you're committed to Jesus, you cannot be snatched out of his hand. Now, I'll give you this. You can walk away, but you can't be snatched out. And we have freedom. Galatians and Romans. Okay, I'm just going to read them to you. So you're no longer slaves, but children of God. We've already had this. Since you are his child, God has made you heirs. So you're no longer slaves to sin. Romans 6:6-7. From now on, our old self has been crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. In other words, been rendered powerless. That old fleshly desire stuff. That we should no longer be slaves to the sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. My old nature is done. It's that new. That's so good. And we have been redeemed. In him we have been redeemed through his blood. The forgiveness of sin is according with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. It ain't an inky-dinky inheritance. It's a lavished inheritance full of wisdom and understanding through the finished work of Jesus. Now, this is one cupboard, one little drawer, whatever, in the kingdom. This isn't barely touching all we have in Christ. But what he did for us that you had nothing to do with is amazing. And other than the simply believing and receiving what he has done for us. We're saved from sin, from death, from slavery, from darkness, into the kingdom of light, into God, into Christ, into an inheritance. And then he's given us the Holy Spirit. You can find that all over the place in the New Testament. And I want to end with this scripture before we take communion from Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to take communion here. Amen. Paul says, "For what I receive from the Lord, I pass on to you." In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and gave thanks, and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, of Jesus." Amen. Let us partake. Jesus, we come before you with thanksgiving, just as we have taken and eaten and received this bread. We receive all that you have done. We remember it's because of you and what you did. Thank you, Lord. And then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, remember me. For when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake. And again, Jesus, we give honor, praise, and glory to your wonderful name. We thank you for what you have done, the new covenant. Our sins are removed. They're gone. You paid the price. You are the ransom from heaven for us. And we've been ransomed out of sin, death, and slavery. into the kingdom of God, into your light, into you, Christ. We praise you, give honor, and we are anticipating the great and glorious day when you return to take up your bride. Again, thank you for what you have done. In your precious and glorious almighty name we pray, and all the children of God said, amen and amen.